Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. Our guest on today's This Week in America, Stephen Prescott, says the struggle to survive in today's noisy classroom is real. The child's poor performance often leads authorities to apply undue pressure on the student, frequently concluding that he is lazy or low intelligence, which he says is certainly not the case. The primary difficulty is that of learning through a defective hearing channel. Stephen is the author of The Listening Child, What Can Go Wrong. He holds an MA in education and an MA in clinical audiology, a PhD from the State University of New York in diagnostic audiology, an impressive career in the U.S., Canada, and Saudi Arabia, a contributor to several books and journals in the field of education and audiology. Stephen Prescott, author of The Listening Child, What Can Go Wrong? What All Parents and Teachers Need to Know About the Struggle to Survive in Today's Noisy Classrooms, is our guest on This Week in America. Stephen, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you very much.
This is such a very important project, a problem that you are addressing. Let's talk about where the idea from the book came from. I understand from in the book that you really received hundreds of questions from concerned parents and teachers baffled by student behavior. Is that where this whole idea came from, to really address this in the book, The Listening Child?
Yeah, I would say basically that's where it came from. I'm retired now, but I was a clinical audiologist, and so I dealt with many problems relating to how people hear and interpret information. You know, you may think that because the ear is quite normal and everything is fine, you're not having any problems with your hearing, that it's almost automatic that you're going to be able to interpret things correctly. But it is not so, and it manifests itself mainly in the classroom with young children. Teachers are there and they don't have the slightest conception as to why this child isn't learning while his next door peer is doing quite well and so forth. And I came to the conclusion that much of that is based on the way the child understands and conceptualizes information that he's getting from the teacher in the classroom. And that prompted me to write the book, because many parents were coming in the clinic for hearing problems for the kids and so forth, and wanted to understand why the kid was not progressing in the classroom. And that prompted the book, actually.
Well, it's interesting, because the parents and teachers were saying they were baffled because the child seemed to have, the behavior seemed to have normal hearing and intelligence, yet was still struggling. And you talk about, and I really am not familiar with this, central auditory processing disorder. Talk about that, because you found that it, so frequently, and children misdiagnosed or not diagnosed at all, and it really got them, early in their educational process, got them off on the wrong track.
Yeah, no, that's a very interesting area. And it's beginning to get a lot of coverage, not only here in Canada, but in the United States. And that's where I did my education, really, basically in the United States. But I was very interested in that area. The problem with that is that most children, I would say over 90% of the children in the classroom, at the elementary level, you'll probably detect anything wrong with that child in terms of how he responds or interacts with his peers and the teacher and so forth. But then you'll find that when it comes to conceptual learning, when it comes to being able to understand things and to conceptualize information, there's a problem there. And it's not because that he isn't hearing. This child has certain characteristics that are pretty common among that population. You'll find that he always raises his hands in the class to ask, "Huh, what did you say? Repeat that." And he seems to have difficulty hearing things or listening to things. And obviously the first conclusion that the teacher arrives at, maybe the parent at home as well, is that this child has a hearing problem. When the child is brought into the clinic for a hearing test, that's the first evaluation he should have. We find that the child has perfectly normal hearing. But it's just the child's ability to conceptualize, to understand what is being told to him. And he has a lot of difficulty in that regard. So I wrote in the book, especially coming on to the last few chapters in that book, about some of the characteristics that identify these children. You may have a child who may be in that category and may not even have realized it. The important thing, though, is that the earlier the problem is detected and treated, the better the results. And that's what I was basically getting at in the book. Yeah.
The book is The Listening Child, What Can Go Wrong? Stephen Prescott, that's P-R-E-S-C-O-D, is the author and our guest on the program today. So it's a processing difficulty, and I would sense this is pretty somewhat difficult to detect, right? If we think the hearing is there, then we feel that we don't know what the problem, I guess, is. So
it, of course, I understand that.
Yeah.
That's a bit baffling for the for most parents. I would say, though, if you find that a child is constantly asking to have things repeated, or when he's given an instruction, he doesn't follow the instruction through, and he's doing the same thing in the classroom, or he's doing the same thing at home, you should have that child evaluated. And the best place to have a child evaluated like that is at a, you have quite a few of them here in Canada, as well as in the United States, a speech and hearing clinic, or what is known as an audiology, audiology, audiology center. And those, and they have special tests that are designed to detect that sort of thing. A child who has a conceptual problem, or what is learning, what is known as a learning, an auditory, central auditory processing disorder, they can detect that quite easily.
And in a classroom, especially with the size of today's classrooms, this is pretty difficult, isn't it, for a teacher to sort of isolate attention on one student?
And I've made note of that in the book, and that's the problem.
Yes.
You see, teachers are, I understand that, teachers are very, very busy, and they have many other problems, you say that, in a classroom to deal with. And so it's very difficult to isolate one child and say, well, I'm going to just pay this attention to this child and that child alone for this problem. The thing is that many of the kids have probably the same problem, and they handle it different ways, but it is a problem that needs specialized attention. A child should be identified as early as possible by hearing tests or speech evaluation and so on. And having found that, then he should be treated as quickly as possible at a speech and hearing center, either in the university or in the clinics around. They will have them. But in the university would be the best place, in a communications department. A communications disorders department would be in the best place to find that sort of help and get help as soon as possible.
Talk about
it has been noted, though, that children who are treated early and are identified and treated early do show tremendous strides in their learning, because that may be the only problem that's causing the barrier between the teacher and the child. So it's good to get them identified as early as possible.
Talk about the treatment process. How difficult is it to treat? And I will ask how successful, and you've said if caught early, it's much more successful. What are some of the treatment methods to deal with this processing problem?
I would say that if you have concerns about your child's learning, have them evaluated. First of all, have a speech and hearing test done, which is known as an audiological evaluation done, the speech and hearing test done on the child. If the hearing apparatus is normal, then, but the child is still not performing well, he's still acting as though he's hearing impaired, then the audiologist that you have referred the child to, many audiologists would be able to identify that problem easily, would be able, I will consult him and ask him for advice as to what I should do next with this child. This child probably needs specialized attention, and teachers of special education and so on might be able to handle that problem well, and the audiologist would give guidance as to where he thinks the child should be taken after that. Most clinics, speech and hearing clinics or audiology centers or universities that have the program, communication disorders program, will be able to advise you very, very well in that area.
With us on the program is Stephen Prescott. That's Prescod. He's the author of The Listening Child, What Can Go Wrong. The book's available wherever books are sold. I'll send you to the publisher, stratton-press.com in the bookstore there. That's stratton-press.com in the bookstore. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly to the information at Stratton Press on the book that Stephen has written. Let's talk about the impact this has on a child, and you write about that extensively in the book. They tend to get discouraged. The teacher tends to give up on them, and it's sad, isn't it, when you consider a student with a little bit of help would be able to reverse course and to do much better in school.
Absolutely. I think you're hitting it right on the head there. My concern, really, and my sympathy, is toward the child. The child really is an intelligent child. Most of these kids have got basic intelligence that are, I mean, equal to or even surpassing sometimes the child who doesn't have that problem. It's just that the child basically has a listening disorder. He cannot process information correctly simply because of the way the apparatus, I guess, in the higher auditory system is constructed. And he has problems paying attention. He has problems. He's inactive. I mean, he's very active in the classroom. He's very distracted easily. And one big feature that really stands out in these kids is that they have a very low tolerance for noise, like extraneous noise. If they're in a classroom and somebody just passes by in the corridor, or there's a little noise in the environment, then they become completely thrown off and they're completely distracted by that. And so the most ideal environment, of course, is an artificial environment, but it's the best for the child at the time, is to have a child in a quiet environment, a quiet classroom, a small classroom size. Maybe even on a one-to-one basis, the child tends to do a lot better than if he's in a crowded classroom with a lot of extraneous noise. He's not going to do very well at all.
It's interesting. I mentioned in the beginning, you say the struggle to survive in today's noisy classroom is real. Talk about that, and you use the word struggle and survive. That's really what it comes down to, bottom line, isn't it? It's not an ideal learning environment.
Oh, it's not an ideal environment at all. Not at all. We know it very well. The budget in the school and things like that are things that you have to consider, because most of these children are in elementary school and most of them are in public schools and so on. And the public school environment, it's not necessarily their fault, but it's just that the resources are limited.
Yes.
So the child is set at a disadvantage, a large classroom, large kids, lots of distraction, and things like that. The environmental conditions aren't conducive to good thinking, good processing of information and so on. So the child has a disadvantage to work with there at that level. So if that child can be given help outside of the classroom, even on an individual basis, one would find that he does very much better than when he's in a crowded, distractive environment, because it is noted that these children are very sensitive. They have a very low tolerance for extraneous noise. Anything that is in the environment, he's attracted to, and he loses concentration very easily. So that would be the ideal environment. But it's not always the environment that the child can be, that one can afford to have that child in. So he might need some extra help there. And on an individual basis, the child excels in the classroom.
The one nice thing about the book, The Listening Child, What Can Go Wrong? What All Parents and Teachers Need to Know About the Struggle to Survive in Today's Noisy Classrooms, is the way that you've written it. It's very understandable it's not for professionals. Parents and teachers can read this, understand very clearly.
Absolutely.
What needs to be done. It's maybe the first time someone has addressed this particular problem in this way.
Yes.
The book started when teachers and parents came to you and they're baffled because this child seems normal. It doesn't seem to have a hearing problem, yet they're struggling. What's it like when suddenly the light bulb goes off for them and they realize what the problem is and they're able to, in many cases, rectify, reverse that problem? What's that like? And are teachers catching on to this now?
Well, it's remarkable. That's what I can say. When the
yes.
light comes on, it's remarkable. You'll find that child can't get enough of what he's been missing. Education is no longer a challenge and a barrier and a threat. He responds very well to it. He's willing to learn. That's not the issue. The issue, you mentioned something earlier there that I was going to comment on. That is, when a child is in that kind of a situation, it's difficult for the child to understand why he can't do like Johnny next door there. He can't do like his peer next door. And all the attention is being placed on the other child who's learning, and he seems to be left out of the LU. So when he can be helped, and when the teachers or whoever it may be, the specialists, identify the problem and work with him, on a one-on-one basis, and he finds that he really is intelligent, he really can learn like the next. He does extremely well. And that's the thing that is so pathetic, because many parents and teachers, as you said before, there are so many kids in the classroom, there's so much distraction in the classroom, and they've got to pay attention to all these little minute things. They don't have enough time to deal with a child who is really struggling. And that is that's very critical to me. I think it's very simple. Sorrowful that he has to go through that until somebody comes along and says, well, I think this child should be isolated for special types of instruction and that sort of thing. And then he finds that the child learns very, very well.
To think of all the children that have gone through the educational process that have wrongly been labeled slow, lazy, daydreamers.
That's it, yes.
And they're put in that category, and suddenly they start believing it themselves, so they lower their expectations, and in cases, intellectually, these children are fine. You talk a couple minutes left in the program, but it's interesting that the child's brain, this is just a remarkable organism, isn't it, and how it works.
Oh, yes. It is a remarkable organism, as you said. The brain of these children is like any other brain. I mean, I mentioned that earlier in the chapter. It's the environmental conditions that impact on the child's ability to learn things, to grasp information and so on. But his brain, he's got a normal functioning system, is ready to learn. And a child, one part of the book I wrote that I really placed some emphasis on, I think it was in the introductory portion of the book, when a child said that these children, they all can learn. A child's brain is designed for learning. It is just that how we teach him is very, very important. And how we teach him is by identifying what areas he's having difficulty with. If you find that a child can do far better in a quiet environment on a one-on-one basis, well, emphasize that, give him as much of that as possible, and at the same time, try to have him interact and have social intercourse with everyone in the classroom so that he's not isolated and he's not considered to be different, and he himself doesn't feel himself to be different. And that's the other thing that bothers the child. When he feels that he's, well, I'm not learning, how it is that Johnny over here can do so well, and I'm not doing any well, I'm doing very well. His parents are telling him that, well, you're doing very poorly, the teacher is not paying any attention, then he has a very low self-esteem. It's an interesting thing to see whenever that child is brought into the light of day and people start paying attention to him and he realizes that, oh, I'm as good as anybody else and so on, that child learns beautifully. It's a marvelous thing. I've seen it several times. And it's just a matter of identifying the problem, working with it reasonably as best as you can, and getting that child to have confidence in himself. That's very important.
And the book just lays it out there. It ends up talking about management, that help is available, how you go about getting that help, the role of management team members in solving these issues and making the school fun again for your child, and he's able to excel in doing that. Just out of time, the time went by so quickly. This is a very important book.
I know, yes.
Yes, called The Listening Child. What can go wrong? What all parents and teachers need to know about the struggle to survive in today's noisy classrooms. So well written, lays it out there in layman's language so we can read it, we can understand it, we can see if it applies in situations in our own families. The book's available, of course, at Amazon, the usual places. I'll direct you to the publisher, Stratton Press. Their website is stratton-press.com. It's available in the bookstore, so stratton-press.com/books. You can link on to all that information by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Stephen Prescott is the author and our guest on the program. Stephen, a pleasure having you with us on the program, talking about a very important issue that, if handled, it recognized and handled early, will make a tremendous difference, a life-changing difference in the educational process of the child. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
My pleasure. God bless.
Thank you. With us on the program, Stephen Prescott, the book, The Listening Child, What Can Go Wrong? Information on the book by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.